obey your command.
Felt a great disturbance in the Force.
Resistance is futile.
Who built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Exterminate!
Silent Breed is people!
I'll be back.
That sounds like something out of science fiction.
We live in a spaceship, dear.
Hear ye! Hear ye! I'm Dave Nelson, and on this 18th day of September 2014, I call to order this, the 24th meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club and another Galactic Netcast. Let's commence with the roll call. I don't know why I'm talking this way.
I don't either.
Somebody help
slightly disconcerting.
Well,
like, huh.
I started out as trying to be British, and then I thought, let's change it to Scottish because they're voting on their independence tonight. But then I couldn't figure out how to do a Scottish accent, so it just turned into this. I don't know.
Oh, poor Dave.
That's baffling.
Can either of you do a Scottish accent?
I can do a really awful British accent.
Go for it.
And the first thing that pops in my head is Eliza Doolittle, and I probably offend people by doing the Cockney accent. So.
Come on, do it. Do it.
I don't know. It's like, hello, governor.
And Daryl has just turned off the show.
That's like when British people do American accent, they always do the Southern accent, right?
They always do like the Texas accent, or what would be considered a Texas accent. They're like, howdy, y'all. How are y'all doing? And whenever we do a British accent, we default to the Cockney accent opposed to something much more refined.
And I think both are the easiest options for those particular accents, I believe.
They are, because they're very exaggerated accents.
There you go.
Whereas in there's much more subtle accents throughout the UK.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't know how I would do like, hear ye, hear ye.
Brad?
I'm not Dave Nelson. And this is the 18th of September.
That's not too bad. It's not Scottish, but it's...
No, I can't at all do Scottish or Irish whatsoever. Like, I can barely even do English.
The closest that I can get to Scottish is Mike Myers from that Saturday Night Live sketch, The Scottish Shop, right?
If it's not Scottish, it's crap!
There you go. Hey, speaking of accents, have you guys seen the preview for the David Tennant American version of the Broadchurch show?
It's weird.
Yeah, how weird is that?
Not just that, but Selfie with Karen Gillan.
Yeah.
She's trying to pull off an American accent, too. And there's certain words where she can't quite pull it off, and it's the same thing with David Tennant. And I honestly think that maybe they should just keep their own original accent, because it sounds much cooler.
There's enough British people, Scottish people running around. I'm sure that that would be acceptable, right?
It's like half the people on The Walking Dead seem to be British or from New Zealand or Australia or something.
I guess they breed the best actors or actresses, maybe.
They are very talented.
All right.
Well, you know, perhaps Peter Jackson's basically taking over New Zealand for how many years doing the Lord of the Rings, the Tolkien films. They probably trained a lot of actors.
Yeah.
In that time, where a lot of people got the acting bug, being extras would be my guess.
Yeah, it's possible. All right, let's do the official roll call here. I know we've been chatting.
Not talk about accents anymore.
We've been chatting for a few minutes. All right, Brad Ludwig, obviously you're here.
Yes.
Your hypothetical question this week: if you were a fictional evil villain, where would you want your lair, your evil fictional villain lair, to be located?
Not a volcano. Just saying.
You know, I would have to say...
Okay, before you answer, you want to hear my answer?
Sure.
Underwater dome.
No.
No?
Okay. Not even... Nope, couldn't pay me enough.
Okay.
See, I have a fear of drowning. I'm afraid of heights. So underwater and air-based layer, kind of out.
Castle.
You know what? It would be in the middle of suburbia, and I would have a house that had like three sublevels, sublevel basements.
Perfect.
So it would be in the middle of a well-populated area. Why would you do that, Brad? Well, if you're going to have a military strike come in, there's a lot of other people around that they would have to account for.
Mm-hmm.
Two, my nefarious deeds would be kind of cloaked by all these other people doing their people things around me. And if I'm building downwards, you know, I've got all this space to do stuff. Maybe I could have like the Batcave like exit that like drives out and like under through a certain area. And, you know, I could have a secret exit for my sub-basement garage.
And have a really, really tacky looking fake bush over the entrance like they did on the Batman TV series.
Darn right.
No, that's
the way to go.
That's perfect, because most evil villains, they get caught because they're so obviously an evil villain, and here's my palatial lair that's obviously an evil villain lair, right?
It's just like really kind of showy and ostentatious. Who needs that?
Yeah.
You don't need that.
Exactly. All right, good answer. Moving on to Anessa, your question this week. If you're the main character in a sci-fi film or TV show, who would you want as your traveling companion, a.k.a. like a, who is Han Solo, the Wookiee?
Chewbacca.
Yes.
Chewbacca.
It could be anything, anybody or anything. Who would your traveling companion want to be?
Brad, duh.
Well, no, okay. Besides Brad,
besides Brad.
Yeah.
Well, I would want someone that can hold their own and that I wouldn't have to try to rescue all the time. So I would probably end up going with Longmire, I think.
There you go.
Walt Longmire from
Absolutely.
The books and the TV show.
Can you explain his personality? Because I've never read or watched the TV show.
Oh, man, it's such a good show. I've not read the books, but I imagine they're just as good. So Walt Longmire is a sheriff, and the actual premise of the show is he's trying to deal with the death of his wife, who ends up getting murdered. But his character, he's typically a very calm, cool, collected type of person. He really tends to try to think things through. He can definitely handle his own. And he's not afraid to, I guess, kind of work the system a bit to get justice done, but he does it in a way to where he's not being morally wrong when he does it. So it's like, I don't know, the right thing to do, I guess.
He works completely within the confines of the law and actually finds other maybe sub-clauses or whatever and loopholes to get things done.
To get things done.
Okay.
So he's not like breaking the law or doing anything wrong. But yeah, he's just...
And he has a strong sense of right and wrong, of justice, so he's not a dick about it.
Yeah.
To people that do good. But if you're on the wrong side of the law, he will work loopholes to put people into corners where they make a mistake, and then he finally has enough evidence to finally,
put somebody away.
Got it. Okay.
So.
All right. All right, great answers.
Walt Longmire on my team.
See, I don't even feel bad that you're not selecting me. If you're picking Walt Longmire, you're damn right you pick Walt Longmire, by God.
Okay, how about this? Answer part two. What non-human character would you want as your... Because Chewbacca's not human, right?
He's not human.
No.
He's a Wookiee.
Yeah.
He's a Wookiee. Man, what? Goodness. Non-human character.
Am I putting you on the spot?
That's a really good question. Yeah, you're kind of putting me on the spot. I'm like,
R2-D2.
No, actually, I was thinking maybe Leela from Futurama.
There you go.
She's not human.
Yeah, no. And she's got a lot of skills, right?
Yeah, she's got spunk.
Spunk, she's got skills, yeah. She's the whole package right there. Definitely.
Yep.
Good answer.
So.
Yeah. All right. All right. Welcome again to the Sci-Fi Geeks Club netcast. We normally have a guest. Last week we didn't. We were supposed to have returning guest Jackie Hearn, and at the last minute she tweeted that she couldn't come on because she's got some kind of thing going on. So sorry that you couldn't make it, Jackie. Maybe we'll get you on in coming weeks, but it's just the three of us. Matt is not here, so I think this is the smallest amount of people that we've had on this show ever, I believe. Three people.
I think so.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
I think maybe one time didn't y'all have a guest and two people?
I don't remember.
No.
I don't know.
No. Maybe I'm just making things up. What do I know?
Oh, you know plenty.
Yeah, you know plenty.
I just don't know that.
This I'm not really sure.
So, I don't know. Anyway, we'll just say this one's the smallest cast.
Okay. Let's, before we get into new business, the new stories of the week in the world of science fiction and sci-fi, Brad, let's read the minutes from last week. What did we talk about on the last meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club?
Well, our guest geek was Daryl Johnston, who is a man of, who's followed our shows, both Alien Invasion and Sci-Fi Geeks Club for quite some time, a self-proclaimed lurker, as it were, and he started becoming a little bit more active and commenting on stuff. And we had him come on because we wanted to do a bit of discussion of the new Doctor Who series, and Daryl happens to be from the UK. So why not get the UK perspective? And that's Daryl brought that in spades, and we really had a great time speaking with him. Matt was not with us that episode, but
yeah, he was. Matt was.
Yeah, he was.
Was he? Well, I don't see anything listed. For
Yeah, 12 worst cyborg movies.
12. Yes, that's right. He brought some awesome bad cyborg films. One of them being Cyborg 2 with Angelina Jolie. Good times. And the story I brought to the table was DARPA tried to build Skynet in the 80s.
No, you're looking at the wrong document, Brad.
Oh, I am. Gosh darn it. I have my revision history up. Boy. Hey, guess what? We had no guest last week. Oh, my apologies to Daryl. Although we did have a wonderful time speaking to Daryl.
And you did talk about something DARPA related.
I did talk about something DARPA related. Okay, so now I'm looking at the right portion of the document. I apologize, everybody listening. DARPA wants to give everybody in the military, Wolverine-esque healing factor. They wanted to, they're working on something to insert basically a machine with another part that would be kind of tied into a person's neural network. And when the brain registered injury, whether it be like twisting your ankle or a cut, these nanobots or whatever would rush to that area, reduce the sensation of pain and actually start the healing and swelling and start the healing process. And there was another story, and we talked about that on the show, where they'd actually found a way to reset stem cells to their original state, essentially. So you could take stem cells from skin and totally reset them to repurpose them to actually do regenerative healing. That's where they're going to go now with this process. So,
but DARPA does not want to replace our skeletons with adamantium, right?
No, they do not. Okay. Adamantium is, well, first you need to find vibranium. Well, first you need to find Wakanda. Then you need to find the vibranium that's in Wakanda. And then you have to go through a huge mess of a process to actually get adamantium to liquefy, and you got to keep it liquefied because as soon as you turn off the heat, it hardens almost immediately, and it has a hard time, well, I guess once you heat it once, it has a hard time melting again or some such nonsense. Dave brought to the table the Minority Report and Matrix-like TV shows that are in the works. So Spielberg is working on the Minority Report, a version of that, I believe, that takes place a little bit further in the future.
10 years.
10 years in the future, yep. Of the Minority Report sort of timeline. But Roland Emmerich and Keanu Reeves are actually working to bring a Matrix-type program to TV. It would be another sort of alternate reality, what is real type themed show where people's consciousness is that even a word? Anyways.
Well, you made it one.
It is now. So sticking along with the Matrix themes from the movies. And last but certainly not least, Anessa brought to the table the contest that seeks entries in science fiction museum designs. So there is a science fiction museum that they're looking to create, but it doesn't have a look. They haven't picked a design for what they want to represent the appearance of this big museum to house a lot of the history of science fiction. And so there's this contest that's going on to, you know, gather different architects, different designs, and try to pick something that they feel would best represent what would store historical iconic material in science fiction. So kind of a big deal. And that wraps up our show from last week.
All right. Let's start off our new business with Brad. Do you want to continue talking?
I will. Okay. I just took a swig of water and I'm good to go.
All right.
This is pretty much hot off the presses from today.
Oh, man. I love this story. Okay.
Yes.
Sorry.
J.J. Abrams and Zack Snyder. J.J. Abrams, of course, working on the Star Wars movies. And Zack Snyder, who's working on the Batman v. Superman movie, kind of had a Twitter war. Now, I apologize to people that are actually listening to this episode, but if you go to the show notes that we have available, there will be a link. And I'm going to be showing these images and trying to kind of explain them as I go so that people get a good – because you have to see this to almost believe it. And there we go. So I've got my screen up now. So this Twitter war starts, and in the first image, we've got Superman, the actor. Crap. Oh my God, my brain just completely.
I was gonna say Brandon Routh, but I'm like, no, that's the last one.
Oh dear God in heaven, I've just lost my geek cred. Anyways, the actor who plays Superman currently and did in the last film that came out and has him dressed in a cloaked robe, which makes him look, it's reddish, almost like a reddish leather. And he's holding a lightsaber, which also is a red-colored lightsaber. And he's looking very dark and very, very Sith-like. And he put on the hashtag SuperJedi.
Now, no, okay, do you want to clarify something real quick, Brad?
Sure.
He's been tweeting these photos out for a while, right? These characters.
Oh, I apologize. This one is from July 23rd.
Yeah.
So they've been going back and forth for a while. But the reason why I say that this is hot off the press is it actually culminated and a video was released which shows a portion of the exterior of the Millennium Falcon, which people initially said, oh, that's CG. No, it's not.
Mm-mm.
It is not CG at all. And when you see this video on YouTube, and you can find it, and we'll have the link in the show notes to the story, which has everything that I'm talking about here. It's shot on a Steadicam, and it's phenomenal. But we'll get to that in a second. The next item was posted 2 days later. and it's basically another actor from Star Wars who's dressed sort of like Batman, but he's holding a blaster. A black and yellow looking blaster.
Do we know which actor this is?
I don't know who that is, and I wish I did.
It's got to be somebody from Episode 7, right? It's got to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And they call him Boyga Man, Boyega Man. Shot, and you can see there's like lit behind him is the kind of the bat signal that they, you know, put in the night sky to signal Batman. Then Zack Snyder retorted August 2nd with Batman and R2bin. He actually snuck R2D2. He snuck Robin. I'm sorry. I'm getting this all backwards. Snyder slipped R2 onto the set of Batman versus Superman. So you've got this weird bit of Robin, sort of a look with Batman. Somebody dressed as Batman. So he's trying to pull off this. He's got a new sidekick, a different Robin, and this Batman person in a Batman outfit next to him. Then it escalates with Abrams releasing a picture called the C-3PED Crusader. It's meant to look like leet speak as caped Crusader, but it's C-3PO wearing like a Batman type cloak, and he's standing on top of the head of like a gargoyle, like you've seen in classic Batman poses where he's looking over Gotham City. But the signal, the bat signal that you would normally see in Gotham's night sky, is actually a projected look of the rebel symbol in the clouds being projected like the bat signal in the sky. And then the follow-up is a stormtrooper being put into the back of a Gotham City police department cop car. And one of the other police officers from the Gotham City Police Department looks like he's ticketing the Batmobile. And Zack Snyder puts case closed. And that was put out September 13th, so 5 days ago from when we're doing this show. Today is the 18th. But at the end of this, like I said, if we go all the way back up to the top of this thing, we get the video of the exterior of the Millennium Falcon. Now, there was and I think we talked about this before, somebody had taken a quadcopter and actually shot some photos of, and they're building a practical, like a size to scale of the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, and this video looks awesome, and what makes the video even better is the music, because they use that sad music from episode 4, from Tatooine. Yeah. Right?
Actually, that reminds me of the music from the Batman movies, from the recent ones, from the Chris Nolan movies.
No. The beginning of the video, it plays that sad music from the
oh, yeah.
Luke losing his...
And then it bleeds into Batman music from Chris Nolan's movies.
Yeah.
You have to see this video. And it is so detailed. When they do this Steadicam video, they're kind of taking it probably a good 20 feet away from the Millennium Falcon, and they go up close underneath a portion of the Millennium Falcon and get right up underneath it. And it is painted, it is built, the pipes, I mean, everything. It's a practical one-to-one scale ship that they're going to do exterior shots with the Millennium Falcon. And it is, like I said, it's magnificent. It's a 36-second video that you need to see. So pause the show, go to the show notes, and click the link to this IO9 article, and see all these pictures. But the video is at the top, and it is magnificent.
I didn't realize that this was going on for as long as it was. The only other thing that I saw was the stormtrooper getting put in the back of the Gotham City police car.
Yep.
And we got a clarification on that actor who was in the Batmanish suit.
Okay. Yep.
It's John Boyega.
Oh, okay. Boyega man. Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know what he's playing. I guess that name makes more sense now. He was actually in Attack the Block, that alien movie, and I don't know what he's playing in Episode 7. I have no idea. What part is that?
He in Star. Oh, they're filming. Ugh, doesn't say what part he's playing. That's just horse manure. Yeah, he's not. He's listed as a part of the crew, but he's not. At least on IMDb, it doesn't list him what part he's playing.
So we have the Q&A function enabled on our Hangout here, and we just got a comment from Corey Scott from the Else Nerds Network.
Yay, Corey!
And he said, wow, so they're like that place, Vulcan, in Canada only. Honest. I have no idea what that means.
Oh, that previous story where they were building a the one-to-one enterprise. Field enterprise.
Oh, okay.
In Vulcan,
that,
in
that
Canada.
That pseudo story, yes.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, that didn't happen. Although Nova Scotia did something similar, but they did theirs with a cell phone a few years back. And when you watch the commercial for Nova Scotia, it starts out as a cell phone, and it's talking about features that you would expect from a phone, like Bluetooth connection.
Oh, I
and
remember this.
Like, yeah, just text messaging and videos and apps and whatnot. And then suddenly it's like the Swiss Army knife of phones, and you end up with like a razor, and it can make coffee, and you can use it as like nail clippers, and just, it was ridiculous. And they're like, oh, hey, and by the way, Nova Scotia is really awesome like that. We're very versatile up here. You should come check us out.
I remember that commercial, but I don't remember it was a thing for Nova Scotia. It's funny.
Oh, yeah, because I've always had an interest in Nova Scotia. New Scotland, as it were. It shares some of the same geology with the British Isles, so...
Excellent.
But yeah, that's why I know that it was for Nova Scotia, because I have always wanted to go to Nova Scotia.
I hear it's beautiful.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, back to your story, Brad. I really hope that both Zach and JJ step the war up a little bit. I know JJ has, and I hope it continues to escalate. This is the best war ever.
Well, you know what's funny is if you look at the comments at the bottom of this IO9 article, the first person says, it's fascinating watching two major Hollywood directors doing multi-million dollar franchises, engaging in battles most comic shop mainstays would find a bit petty. I don't think he's heard of a thing called marketing.
Mm-hmm. No.
they're both trying to develop a huge buzz on social media by doing these stunts for both films.
And they
both want to win.
Yeah, and even before this started, J.J. Abrams began with that campaign where the charity they were raising money for,
mm-hmm.
and the person that would win the contest or whatever it was would get a walk-on episode 7, and he did the scene. It was out in the desert, and they kept on showing, like, some creatures in the background. And then he did the next video, and he was standing in front of the X-Wing fighter, and the pilot comes walking up and gets in. And this is not related to that, but this is pretty cool. I like what he's doing here.
Yep.
We have an update on John Boyega. He is playing a stormtrooper who goes AWOL and teams up with Daisy Ridley's character.
Nice.
Okay. I think I did read that. Thanks, Corey.
Woohoo!
Yeah, good to have him as our content producer here tonight.
That's Corey's got our back.
Yeah.
Bye.
All right, let's move on to the next story, and that's mine. Thank you, Brad. By the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was a lot of like mainstream sci-fi stories this week, and it's a lot of stories that. We've had a chance to talk about in previous episodes, so I wanted to find one that was kind of off the beaten track a little bit, and this came up today. Firefly alum Sean, is it Maher? Maher?
Yeah, Maher, I think.
Maher?
Maher?
Sean Maher?
I don't remember how they said it at the panels. Sorry, Sean.
Sean from Firefly is going to be in a... indie sci-fi thriller called ISRA 88 or ISRA 88. And this story really sent me down a rabbit hole to find more information about this movie because the initial story doesn't really give out much information. But I, the consummate professional that I am, I wanted to know more. Inquiring minds want to know more. So I did some Googling. I did some searching on various social networks, and I found the story. So Maher, I don't know. He'll play scientist Abe Anderson, who volunteers for a high-profile mission aboard the Isra 88 to reach the end of the universe. The end of the universe. After leaving behind his family and his responsibilities to pursue fame and glory, Abe's journey becomes seemingly endless, taking a toll on his belief in the mission itself. When the ship crashes through the end of... So they reached the end of the universe, they crashed through the end of the universe. When that happens, Abe is forced to perpetually relive his 13-year mission. That means reliving it over and over again, right?
Yeah.
Carrying only a subconscious memory of his past travels, Abe must find a way to stop the cycle and return home. Now, what was interesting is I went and found a short film about this. And it's basically a setup for the movie itself. And they had a different actor playing the same character that that Sean from Firefly is going to play.
I guess his name is pronounced Mayer.
Okay. Sean Mayer. Thank you.
I've been trying to go through videos seeing if they're like, I'm here with Sean Mayer or Maher or Mar. No luck.
I had a feeling that was Mayer. I just had an inkling. A gut feeling.
Like the singer, maybe. Similar.
Yeah.
Spelled differently. But... Yeah.
So I found this video, which is basically to set up this movie. It's a short film on Vimeo. And it's the same character, but it's a different actor playing him. So I think maybe they produced it. Obviously, they produced it before they signed on Sean Mayer to star in this role in this movie. But it kind of gives you a good idea where this movie's going. They show him volunteering for the mission. They show him with his family. There's some kind of like financial stuff going on, and he decides to volunteer for this mission basically to solve his financial problems. They show the spaceship, and they show some of the scientists that he's working with to before this mission starts. So it's all like Earth-based before they actually take off in this ship on this mission to the end of the universe. That's a long way.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. They do mention, I didn't have this in the actual show notes here, they mentioned something about light speed, which is basically what they have to figure out to get to the end of the universe, I'm guessing. But of course, Sean Mayer is best known for playing the role of Dr. Simon Tam in Joss Whedon's Firefly series. Other credits that he has been in include Much Ado About Nothing. He's been in Arrow, the British series EastEnders, also Wedding Wars. And they're filming this in Michigan. And this is where I got a lot of the information about this series, or this, about this movie, is from the Michigan Film Board.
Sure.
They had a bigger synopsis of the plot than this original story from therap.com about Sean Mayer actually being cast in this movie. It's going into production early 2015. So I'm guessing we'll see it late next year or early in 2016. It's called Isra 88, starring Sean Mayer from Firefly. I'm looking forward to it. All right, let's move on.
Excellent.
You guys, does this sound like something that you guys would be interested in?
It kind of reminds me of the book Ghost, written by Piers Anthony. And in it, this crew flies in their ship, and they break through to the end of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Ghost. And there's a crew member that commits suicide in the book, and all of a sudden the crew member is alive again.
Weird.
So it's a whole kind of a mystery and an interesting trope that's been done before. But it'd be interesting to see him in action. In a feature film again.
Was that a book, you said, or a movie?
Yeah, Ghost was a book.
Okay. You know what this movie also reminds me of? Reminds me of a couple of different things. Reminds me of that Interstellar movie that's coming out.
About that too, yeah.
And it also reminds me of what was the Tom Cruise movie that came out this summer?
Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, Edge of Tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah, where he kept on reliving the same day over and over again. Kind of reminds me of that as well. All right.
Yeah, I can do that.
And if you want to watch that that short film, we'll have that in the show notes as well. All right, Inessa, what do you got? You got the last story of the episode.
I got the last story, and John Scalzi has released a novel a couple weeks ago called Lock In. And it's funny because I felt like I was just telling Matt about the short story that feeds into this novel that was just released, and it's already been picked up by Legendary TV. So it's been picked up and will be adapted into a pilot for a potential series.
Cool.
The book revolves around a highly contagious virus that contains 1% or 5 million of the U.S. population to become paralyzed but fully aware, while the rest of the infected get nothing more than the flu, fever, or headaches. A quarter of a century later, the immobile are able to borrow the bodies of, quote, integrators. And after one of the paralyzed is murdered, the book focuses on two FBI agents who are called in to investigate a case that spirals into something far larger. So this essentially sounds like a combination between this viral outbreak, how do we deal with this sort of thing, and then a murder mystery all wrapped up into one. And the book was published back in August. So yeah, like I said, a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. And it's not the only book that Scalzi's written that's been picked up to be produced for a pilot as a potential series. You've also got Old Man's War and Red Shirts that have been picked up as well.
Oh, Red Shirts has too. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yep. And on Scalzi's Google Plus page, he posted on the 15th, so 3 days ago, that it had been acquired. Lock-In had been acquired for TV. And he's like, here's the link. I am very, obviously, very excited about this. This is my third book currently under development for TV. And then in parentheses, he puts Red Shirts and Old Man's War. So he's like, I'm very excited about that, too. So, And if people haven't read any of Scalzi's stuff, I say you should pick up a book.
No!
Just pick one. It's cool.
Yeah, and we might be getting John on the podcast.
Yeah, because right now he's doing a very extensive tour with Lock-In for the next few months, and said that he might be able to and would be interested in doing something. I think it was, early next year?
No, it was late fall.
Oh, was it fall?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember. But
November,
yeah,
or
it
something.
Would be later this year, early next year, I would imagine, but he's a very busy individual. So, yeah, it's crazy. But, yeah, that was my story. It's going to get picked up as a pilot, as a TV show, and it could potentially become a thing, which would be kind of cool to see, along with Old Man's War and Red Shirts. So
there's a lot of great science fiction coming to TV. I'm looking forward to all these shows that are in development. Hopefully most of them get actually picked up.
Yeah, here's hoping.
Yeah.
And if anything, maybe, Legendary can work something out with something like Netflix or Hulu. Netflix, Hulu, or Amazon, because they're all trying to come out with original content as well, and this could be something that might be up their alley.
It's a good time to be a fan of TV. There's a lot of choices out there.
Oh, God, there's too many choices sometimes.
No, yeah, there is. Totally.
It's like, oh, man, what should I watch today? I'm just going to sit here and scroll through, endless choices and not watch anything.
I was looking at the schedule of our, they call DVRs in Canada PVRs, so I have to actually translate for myself here. I was going through our DVR the other day and trying to make room, because I was looking at the schedule of all these shows coming up. I'm like, I gotta make room, because there's all these new shows are coming back on again. Like, you got the fall season coming on. So I had to make room.
Yeah, you've got Sleepy Hollow, you've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you've got Gotham.
Gotham starts next week. Yep.
Yeah, you've got all sorts of stuff coming out.
There's that show where the guy, he's like a corner worker, and he keeps on dying. That looks really good.
What show is that one? I don't remember.
I don't know offhand the name of it. But he's...
iZombie's coming out. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's a DC comic book movie or a show.
What network and when is that going to be coming on? Do you know?
iZombie. That's a good question. You know, and if I could type, that would be freaking awesome. It will be on the CW.
Okay.
Let's see.
I'm guessing early next year.
Yeah. Shoot, it's not saying, it's saying coming soon on the CW site. I think, I want to say that it's got a winter release for the show, but, adaption, here we go. Picked up for the 2014-2015 season by the CW on May 8th, so it's due out, in the next few months.
Corey says, Dave, it's forever.
What's forever?
I assume when it's coming out.
CW is really on board with DC, aren't they? You said that's a DC that's a DC property?
That's a DC property. Constantine's going to be on NBC. Constantine's a DC property. Got Gotham.
Yeah,
that's on Fox. You've got The Flash, which is airing, I think, on the... on the 7th, and then Arrow's new season airs on the 8th of October.
Yep.
God, this is a lot of... It's interesting how DC is really... Or I'm sorry, Marvel has kind of won the movie war, but DC is slowly winning over television.
Yeah, but you know what? But I was looking at this chart of DC compared to Marvel, and Marvel actually... if you add up all their upcoming Netflix shows, they've actually got more TV than DC does.
Yeah, because technically Powers is under the Icon imprint, which is a part of Marvel. So that's coming on the PlayStation Network.
Oh, the TV show's forever. The 200-year-old man.
Oh, that's that makes a lot more sense. I was very confused.
Well, thankfully, Corey sent the link.
Thanks, Corey.
Yay!
All right, so that's
it's no true calling, but it'll do.
Yeah.
Right,
all right, so that's the news. Are you guys ready for the Sci-Fi Geeks quiz?
But what about Matt?
What about Matt?
He'll miss out on points.
Oh, but you know what? I implemented a new rule, which will take care of that. Okay. So if you guys are ready, let's play the Sci-Fi Geeks Quiz.
See, what people aren't seeing, if they're not watching the video, is Dave's super awesome dance to this song.
I need some music. I need some kind of like cheesy game show type music.
It's a lot of upper body gyration, kids. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right. Hello, and welcome to the Sci-Fi Geeks Quiz. The quiz consists of 5 questions, and after I ask each one, whomever rings in with their first name first will have the first shot at answering that question. If that person gets it wrong, the guest has a second shot at it. We have no guest this week, so the second person that said their name when I asked the question will get the second shot at the answering the question. Does that make any sense?
Sure.
Okay.
So
okay. What?
No, I'm like, just so long as someone says their name second, then they just get a shot.
Yeah. But you know, even if you don't say your name second, you can still have a shot at it. But if we had more people here,
then the second person to say their name has a shot.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I was like, that's weird, because there are only like 2 of us doing
If there's more people here, that would make more sense.
I got you now.
Okay. So if one of the panelists is missing, like Matt this week, one question at random will be designated to that person, and whomever gets that question right, the point will be transferred to the missing panelist. So Brad, you may get a question right, but it may be designated to Matt.
Oh.
All right.
Interesting. And that's only if they're missing, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So.
Oh, and Corey says that you need to do the hand jive.
Yeah, if you're gonna dance, do that upper torso dance thing, you need to do a little bit of.
You mean
hand jive?
You mean that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
the arm thing, and it's hard to do it on the monitor.
Oh.
Like Grease, where they're doing this, and then they do this. And then they kind of do the thumbs thing.
Can I do mowing the grass?
Yeah.
Well, then you got to do the reach back motion.
Oh, okay.
Because you're starting the mower.
Oh.
All right.
You can do the sprinkler.
All right. Enough of that nonsense. Me, Dave Nelson, has the right to change the rule at any moment's notice. So if I feel like it's not going well, I can change the rules whenever I damn well please. This is my game.
It's good to be the king.
Yes.
Yep.
So where we stand with the points, which the other thing I wanted to change this week was whoever gets the most points will get one. Like whoever gets the most questions right will win for the week, and they will get points added to their total. So, Brad.
And no one else gets points.
Nobody else gets points. No. So, Brad has 4 points. Anessa has 3 points. Matt has 2 points. And the guest also has 2 points. All right? So, first...
That's a lot of catching up to do if Brad keeps winning.
Yeah. That's why we're going with 1 point per game. Because those points add up quite quickly. If you count every answer that you get right as a point, then they're going to add up really quickly. So...
Yes, they will.
One of these days, yeah. we'll get this game defined.
Well, I guess like the only thing that I was saying that if like Matt or myself want to catch up, it would take us like multiple shows to even come close.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. Very good point. All right. So, are you guys ready?
It's just kind of sad.
Are you ready?
Well, no. What he's saying is that you'll only at the even if we have 1,000 questions, the most points you can
the
score
most points
is,
you get
one.
Is one. Right. But say Matt, who only has 1 point and you've got 4, he'd have to try to catch up over a period of 3 weeks.
That's right. He's going to have to be really darn awesome.
Yeah, it's possible. Oh. It could happen. You know, you never know. And that's why we're doing the points this way. It's going to be a lot easier for him to catch up with the point system that we're doing from now on. Ow.
I encourage Corey to bring it with his team next week. Absolutely.
Like, I don't know if it'd be easier for Matt to catch up.
I don't know. Okay. So Brad has 4 points. If we go with the system that we had before, where a point was for each correct answer, say Brad gets 3 out of the 5 questions right, he gets 3 more points added to his total. Now, if he just wins the game this week, he only gets 1 point, so it's going to be a lot easier for people with lower points to catch up because, I don't know,
because, I mean, at least if you earn multiple points
Less talk,
game,
more questions!
Okay!
Then Matt could have a really good run and catch up.
I understand. I totally
Dave
understand.
Dave could always change the rules and screw me over completely and award the points to Matt.
Yes.
Next!
All right,
here we go. Question number one. Again, first person that says their name will get first shot at answering first. Both released in 1998, which movie was released first? Deep Impact or Armageddon?
Oh, Brad.
Brad.
Deep Impact.
Deep Impact is... correct, sir.
I saw neither film.
That's a sad thing. I saw each of them, but I don't know. I don't care who came out first in 98.
I saw both in theaters that year.
I did too. I think I saw them for free.
How did that happen?
Being in high school, having friends that work in the movie theater, you see a lot of movies for free.
I see.
Boom. You're like, oh, here's a ticket. Yay.
Breaking the law. Breaking the law.
It was like $2. So.
All right.
They get free passes for friends and family.
Question number two. In the comic books, what U.S. state is Xavier's school for gifted youngsters located in?
Brad. Massachusetts.
That's your final answer?
Yes. Oh, Massachusetts is a frickin' not a state, ass.
No, Massachusetts is a state.
Oh, it is.
But the answer I'm looking for is New York State.
Oh crap! Yes. Okay.
I believe that it was temporarily in Massachusetts for a little while, but for most of the run of the comic book, it's been in New York State.
Okay.
All right. Question number three. In how many parsecs did Han Solo claim the Millennium Falcon made the Kessel Run?
Brad. 15.
Are you absolutely 100% sure?
Sure.
And...
Oh, man. Nice.
The correct answer is 12. 12 parsecs. All right. Question number four. In what book and eventually movie TV series were the Sandmen law enforcement?
Oh.
Anyone?
Brad?
Not a clue.
Logan's Run is correct.
Whew.
Is correct. Brad, you're doing well.
Oh, yeah? Boy, Corey schooled me. Yep.
What did he say?
He just put up a
1407 Gray Malkin Lane in Salem Center, New York.
Yep. And Salem was stuck in my head, and Salem is in Massachusetts, even though
Salem Center
is not. So, yep, there you go.
Well, maybe we should kick off Brad and bring Corey on.
Yeah, because Corey's far better than me.
No, I'm sure that you know things that he doesn't know, and vice versa.
Oh, of course. No one knows the same thing.
Absolutely.
All right, let's find out who's going to know the most for this game. So far, Brad's winning this thing. Final question. In what year did the original The Day the Earth Stood Still come out?
Anessa? 1951?
1951! Yeah!
Woohoo!
It's either a one or a seven that was in my head.
Yeah, I was going to do 53 would have been my guess.
Well, that would have been wrong.
Absolutely, it would have been wrong. That's why I shut my mouth.
All right, so the question that I had designated for Matt was the Kessel Run question. So Matt did not get a point this week. But
yeah, 12 was in my head, but I don't really know enough for Star Wars.
Well, you got to go with your gut.
I watch the movies, but I don't know. I don't care enough to retain that much information.
Well, next time, Anessa, if you have a hunch, a feeling, go with your gut.
Well, you have to also understand that parsecs is in astronomy, so I've heard numbers a lot. So even if 12 was in my head, I'm pretty sure that was included in an exercise that we gave to our students. So.
All right, so Brad wins the game, and Brad earns a point for this week. So Brad is now ahead. Well, his score is 5 points. Anessa, you have 3 points, and Matt and the guest are tied at 2 points. So Brad, after another week, still leads the game. Congratulations, Brad.
Phew. By the skin of my teeth, and screwing up a couple of questions.
I still answered more than I did. I only answered one. So.
That's true. Although I'm very impressed by the day this Earth stood still year.
I had a feeling that Anessa was going to get that one just because we had talked about that, I believe, on one of our other podcasts. And I know that she watched it.
I've seen it before, but I normally don't pay attention to like the years. I just kind of maybe knew like, oh, it was in the 50s or 60s.
Yeah, and actually that was one of my alien invasion picks within the past 6 months.
Okay, maybe it was you then. But I thought that she watched it for some reason. I don't know.
I've seen it before, but I don't know if I did it as a pick.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you've got...
I think it was recently on Hulu, and that's why I was digging through stuff. I'm like, oh, man, I hadn't seen it in its entirety in a very, very long time to the point where I didn't remember all of it. So I still have yet to see the Keanu Reeves updated version.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, you
I
don't
wanna
have to.
I want to see it just out of curiosity.
It's not that good. It's not that
good. Yeah.
You can criticize afterwards. But yeah, I haven't seen the Keanu Reeves version. But yeah, it was just... It seemed to me, because a lot of times when you look at movies these days online, if you do a search for them, they'll have the year next to them. And so that's what was in my head, and I couldn't quite picture if it was a 1 or a 7. And I didn't think it was that late in the 50s, so I just went with the 1.
Boom.
See, again, that proves my point. Go with your gut feeling.
Always.
So next time, if you think you have a feeling, you might know it, and the first person that tried answering got it wrong, then go for it. Nothing to lose.
Yep.
In fact, you have nothing to lose. You have nothing to lose anytime because you're not being deducted points yet.
That's true.
That may change.
And the fate of the world does not hang in the balance.
Yes, exactly. All right. Hey, you mentioned Alien Invasion. That is our other podcast here on the Galactic Netcast.
Netcast.
Thank you. That's our other show, our other Netcast on the Galactic Netcast Network. If you feel like you are missing, you want more Netcasts in your life, go ahead and subscribe to that. You can find that and this Netcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search for Galactic Netcasts or Alien Invasion and Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Or just go to galacticnetcasts.com for all the details and proper links to get where you want to get. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. Follow us on the social networks and find out the latest of what we got going on. And we also push out science fiction and science news all week long. So that's cool. Leave us feedback, galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. And our voicemail number is 805-328-3966. That's going to do it for this edition of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Next week, Anessa's not going to be here, and Matt is still gone. So we have two very special guests. We consider them second or third cousins to us.
I would have said, like, you know, brother or sister show.
Or at least first cousin.
Okay. First cousin. We'll compromise. We'll go first cousins. The Elsnerds, the Elsnerds guys, they've been on before, Corey and Gregor, will both be on the show next week. We have no guest, plus we're missing two panelists. So Gregor and Corey will be playing the parts of Anessa and Matt. We'll have to figure out who's who next week.
I don't know. I know Corey's played the part of me before.
Yep.
So, Corey, I know that you're watching us right now, listening to us. Make sure that you wear a black T-shirt of some kind. That's a requirement.
Yeah. Well, I don't always wear black, but...
And you have to put your hair up, Corey. All right.
You can leave it down, Corey, this time. Or whatever color shirt you want.
All right. That's going to be fun next week, so join us then. And I call this meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club adjourned. Hang on. Here we go. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Woohoo! Second or third, I think we need to do a date. Bye, Dad.
Thank you. I was waiting for
Bye,
that.
Dad.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.